And welcome to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, and we're really glad to have you on and discuss health, wellness, and alternative medicine today. And you can always get more information by visiting the websites of our programs and our disciplines, our practices. Myself, I'm a naturopathic physician and herbalist and lecturer, and my website is drznaturally.com. And, of course, the natural nurse, Dr. Ellen Kamai, she's at naturalnurse.com. And we're really excited to have on the program Dr. Michael Posner, who's the author of a book called Well Adjusted, A Journey of Transformation for Body, Mind, and Spirit. And a little bit about Dr. Posner. I haven't seen Dr. Posner in a really long time, so it's going to be great to talk to him today. But he's director of the Holistic Wellness Center in Huntington Village, New York, Long Island, where he's maintained a successful practice for 30 years. He's a gifted healer and has helped thousands of people restore their health through a synergistic approach to chiropractic, combining massage therapy, acupuncture, nutrition, meditation, infrared LED healing light therapy, and also he's an internationally certified healing Tao instructor since 1983, and he's passionate about teaching Tai Chi, Qigong, martial arts, and the inner smile and microcosmic orbit meditations as taught by Grandmaster Mantak Chia. We'll talk about that. And so he's at the point now where he, you know, kind of like when we kind of become masters, we want to share that information so that we can help people. And and along with his wife, Dr. Lois, she also was instrumental in writing this book, Well Adjusted, Journey of Transformation for Body, Mind, Spirit. So without further ado, Dr. Posner.
Thank you, Eugene.
Hey,
good to be here.
Good to hear your voice.
Same here.
It's been a real long time. We're kind of like kindred spirits, that we're really close with Dr. Kamai, the natural nurse, but you know, so it's really great to have you on and discuss your book, and welcome to the club. It's really nice when you to put your, remember when we wrote our books out there, what a great feeling of accomplishment it is to write a book. So congratulations. And so
thank you very much.
Yeah, really, what motivated you to write this book finally?
Well, you know, for many years, I always felt I had a book inside of me because I had some amazing experiences in my own health transformation, which I will discuss shortly. And, you know, people love to hear stories. And my wife has been very instrumental in helping me because we collaborated on this book. And she felt that it was very important, as well as myself, of course, to get the word out to as many people as possible to show them that there are no limitations in their life. And my desire was really to share my story with as many people as possible. Of course, I speak about this stuff with my patients, but of course that's limited, and I was hoping to reach a greater audience by writing a book. And my wife just pushed me into it, and I'm so happy she did.
Yeah, you need some motivational things to write and rewrite and get your thoughts down and things like that. I remember getting up real early, and when my kids were really young, it's a surprise, and finding the time. You know, there's an old saying, there's not enough time to do everything, but there's enough time to do the most important thing. So you clearly put on your Maslow's hierarchy of importance in your life to do this project.
That's correct.
And so your book is subtitled Journey of Transformation for Mind, Body, and Spirit. Can you elaborate on that for the listeners?
Well, you know, a lot of times people just look at their physical reality and think that that's who they are. But I have learned over many years that we also have an intellect or a mind, and we have emotions, and we have a spirit. We are energy beings. So it's in order to create the best health, you really need to balance each aspect of your being, which all interrelate and affect each other. So it's not enough just to work on your body, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all have had different experiences that have kind of revealed truth. You know, unfortunately, I don't know if Ellen told you, but we lost our shaman and beautiful soul, Jamba, the man that transformed my life, and the Jamaican bush doctor that I've been studying with for 35 years. He passed them.
Sorry.
Yeah, about 3-4 weeks ago. But, you know, the spirit lives on, and it's so great that he told me these stories and passed this information, because when a shaman dies like that, it's like a whole library burning down if they don't pass their wisdom. So, you know, we owe it to people to pass this. I mean, that's the only way that, like, chiropractic survived and naturopathic medicine survived, because there's so much truth to these natural medicines, and we need to preserve it for the next generation, or else it's not going to happen. So tell us a little bit about some of your stories that plagued your life and how it transformed you.
Okay, when my mother was 45 years old, she was told prior to that she could never have any more children. And, you know, back in those days, what the doctor said was God speaking, and people just believed everything they heard. So she was like 45 years old, and she was pregnant again. You know, she had a prolapsed uterus, and she was told it could never happen. So she gained some weight, and she figured, well, I'm already heavy. I'm just putting on a few more pounds. And when she felt me kicking inside of her, she thought she just had gas. So, yeah, believe it or not, that happened.
Wow.
And prior, she also had, you know, a grandchild already, a
wow.
year and a half before that. So all her focus was on the grandchild. Yeah, the first grandchild's a big deal. And then she finds out after 7 months that she was pregnant. And, you know, kind of the joke in the family for me was, oh, yeah, I was the accident, you know. And I got to say, that did have some kind of psychological effects on me, and I always felt like, you know, I was incompetent and useless, and I acted out a lot in school and was aggressive and, you know, violent. And, you know, people always told me in school, my teachers, that I was incompetent and that I would amount to nothing. So it had a big effect on me, and that's what kind of led me to start my journey.
And tell us a little bit about what that journey was. I know you clearly, if you didn't do pretty well in school, you ended up being a successful chiropractor, which means you had to go to college and then grad school and chiropractic school. Where'd you end up going, and how did that, you know, tell us a little bit about your, you know, when you graduated and how you started practicing and then incorporating these very interesting modalities that you do.
Well, let me take a little step back first. You know, so I was about 17, 18 years old, and I barely made it out of high school. You know, like, I was not very good with school, but I was pretty street smart kid. And I had been walking through a bad neighborhood with one of my friends, and we got jumped by 10 guys.
Wow.
And they stole our money and beat us up, and we both decided to start taking karate class. And so I joined this class, and boy, was I a mess. I felt like I was 90 years old. I was extremely stiff. I had a poor health history. And it was very strenuous for me. Plus, the psychological resistance. Even my teacher in class called me an unfocused scatterbrain. And I always joked around, reminiscent of the things I did in high school. And believe it or not, before every class, I would get physically ill. That's how much resistance I had to change. And in my class, I was lucky enough to meet a chiropractor. who, you know, started to question me about my physical situation, which was basically I was always sick. I had immune system problems, digestive problems. I had psoriasis. I always broke out with boils on my skin. I guess I was a pretty toxic guy. You know, my diet was horrendous. I ate only meat. Believe it or not, Eugene, I didn't even know what broccoli was till I was 20 years old.
Really?
Really. My family's idea of vegetables was a piece of cucumber and iceberg lettuce. Mm. So I really didn't eat any vegetables, which I'm sure added to my, you know, condition. I had mono, I had hepatitis. I was, you know, and hip and back pain. So when I spoke with this chiropractor in karate class, he had asked me to come to his office. He felt he could help me. And I did follow his directions. He taught me how to eat better. He adjusted my spine for several months and completely eliminated the pain that was plaguing me for years. So I was now on my way between him and karate to rehabilitating my mind, body, and spirit. And now, you know, my story began to change.
Where'd you go to chiropractic college, Michael?
I went to New York Chiropractic College. I graduated in December of 1982.
Wow.
And thank God for all the training I got and how my story started to change, because I barely made it out of high school. And now I was, you know, I went to undergraduate, and I graduated with high honors, because now I had a goal, I had motivation, I was focused, I wanted to attain something. Where prior to that, I was lost.
Right.
I didn't know anything. And so I graduated from chiropractic college and, you know, opened up a clinic a year later and began my chiropractic journey. By the way, I did feel that I really needed to tell people what is possible for them regarding their health and how they can transform, because of where I came from and how I was always so sick, and I had a lot of mental and emotional issues coming from a family that was fairly dysfunctional. I felt like I was unique, but then I started to realize, well, you know, a lot of people have the same story as I do, and they don't realize that there are answers. And I felt the desire to share my story with them.
How did you end up starting to work on your mind, Dr. Posner, and meet Grandmaster Mantak Chia and start doing Tai Chi and Qigong? Because I know it sounded like you're interested, you know, karate was your introduction into kind of this, kind of like full Asian type of influence, and then you seem to have really taken it to a vastly higher level.
Well, karate was really a very important springboard for me, because, you know, the discipline and the mental focus really helped me control my thoughts and my mind and get focused. Where previously, I couldn't focus. I'll tell you, if they knew about attention deficit disorder back in those days, I'm sure I would have been the poster child for that.
You would have been on Ritalin then.
You're right, but I didn't go that path.
Right.
Thank God for that. And so, you know, karate taught me discipline and focus, and meditation helped my mind calm down, and I started to really go within. And really, that's the answer for everybody, is to go within. And one of my favorite statements is, if you don't go within, you go without.
I love that.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
So, you know, and I was able to now focus on school, and really, you know, it was a struggle, but, you know, so was karate. And discipline, you know, I felt, well, if I got my black belt after 5 years of what I considered torture, I can take that same ability and apply it in other areas of my life. So it really was a springboard to help me realize that I can overcome with persistence and determination. And that's how I did it.
And then how actually did you meet Montauk Chia? And tell us about the healing system there.
After I got into chiropractic college, I must say I got fairly lazy. And I started to gain a lot of weight, and I lost touch with my practices in the martial arts. And I opened up the Whole Life Times, and I said, I need to continue my studies and find a new teacher. And I just got attracted to what he called back then Taoist esoteric yoga. And I said, this sounds very interesting, and I feel like I can relate to this. So I went into Chinatown, and I went to speak to the master, and he was doing a seminar, and they told me I had to come back in 8 hours. And I was very motivated, so I spent the whole day waiting for him. And then he explained his system to me, how, you know, it's about developing your energy, because you need energy to accomplish anything in life. Without energy, you can't do much. So he told me, first you have to open up the energy flow, which was based on the acupuncture meridians. That was called the microcosmic orbit. That was the first phase. The second phase was to do some qigong, which involved breathing exercises and building and conservation of life force energy called qi. And then the third phase was to do tai chi, which helped move the energy. And then after that, doing some more advanced meditations to transform the negative energy into positive energy. And that encompassed something called the inner smile meditation, which teaches you how to connect with your organs, because in the Chinese system, they believe that your emotions are, you know, the basic emotional energy is in your organs. So it was very important to heal the organs, to heal your emotions. And it was simple. All you had to do is smile to yourself. And it created a form of self-love, which I was also lacking and needed to work on. So it became a very, very important element in my growth to practice Tai Chi, Qigong, and meditation.
Well, we'll get back to that, but let's backtrack and talk a little bit about the healthcare crisis. In the beginning of your book, you talk a lot about the healthcare crisis falling apart and how holistic models seem to be very helpful for understanding the difference between healthy and being just not sick. Can you talk to us about the health model versus a sickness model and how chiropractic fits into that?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, people are always looking for health care. But the truth of the matter is that it's sick care, because it's reactive medicine. It's emergency. It's like people think that when they have a symptom, they have to turn off the symptom, and that's what healthy means. Could you imagine there's a building on fire and the alarm goes off and the fire engines rush up and they put out the alarm and leave?
And they put out the alarm. That's a good analogy. I love that.
Just
alarm and they leave and let it burn down. Great.
It sounds pretty ridiculous, right? But that's what drugs do.
Yeah.
If you're driving in your car and the oil light goes on, could you imagine taking out a piece of tape and just putting it over the oil light? And thinking, okay, I dealt with it.
Wow.
So people are hypnotized into thinking that health is absence of symptoms. But in fact, that is not the definition of health. To prove what I'm saying is, think about if you have heart disease. And you don't know it, usually, unless you find out by accident, and then all of a sudden, you have a heart attack.
Right.
But you had heart disease all along. Or even cancer, which can be growing in your body for 10 to 20 years before it shows its face. Or getting a stroke. That just happens, boom, in a split second. Certainly, there were things that led up to that happening. So we're not reading the signs, because we're turning off the message. When somebody has a symptom, then that's a message from their body that something's wrong. And to just turn off the symptom is like saying to yourself, shut up. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Don't let me know. So people think that, number one, turning off the symptom is important. And number two, they think that by doing that, that's what heals them. When in fact, the only thing that ever heals anybody is their own body. You know, the power that created you is the same power that heals you. And now the situation gets worse because people start saying, well, the reason I have a problem is because I don't have affordable health care, or, you know, the government is responsible, or the drug companies or the insurance companies are responsible for why I'm not healthy. But the fact of the matter is that it has nothing to do with any of that. What it has to do with not understanding your body and what health means, and taking personal responsibility for your health through diet, through exercise, through fresh water, organic foods, sunlight, positive mental attitude. All of these things are essential. Spinal health, all of these things are so essential to create health, and that cannot come from outside of you. It must come from within. And that's really what's broken in our healthcare system.
So tell us about your personal philosophy of chiropractic. You know, we're kind of taught certain things, even in the naturopathic fields, like, for instance, the great Dr. Bastyr, where I graduated from Bastyr University. He was a chiropractor, too. He was an NDDC, because back, if you look historically, naturopaths and chiropractors kind of traveled a very similar path until the 1950s when, you know, they kind of went their separate ways due to accreditation stuff. But there were many blended schools back in the day, and many of the gifted chiropractors were naturopaths and vice versa. So this is where all these holistic principles kind of imbued both our disciplines. But tell us a little bit about your more holistic brand of chiropractic, and also what chiropractic is all about. I think the word, you know, we may think that a lot of people think that chiropractors just crack backs and deal with pain. And I think, you know, it's worth repeating. Sometimes we live in a bubble and we think everyone knows what these things mean, what a naturopath is, what a chiropractor is, but we don't. They don't. So
sure.
It's very interesting. I'd like to hear from yourself.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that point up, because it is true that most people think that we're just neck and back crackers. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that we're doctors of the nervous system. You know, the nervous system.
That's a great thing. I never heard that.
Yeah. You know, the nervous system is the master system of the body, and that's how our brain communicates with everything, our organs, our glands, even down to the very cell. There needs to be some form of communication for proper function. So chiropractors really focus on creating proper nerve flow. And the way we do that is by adjusting vertebrae in the spine or even in extremities. But many doctors go beyond that in terms of helping people eat properly, you know, alerting people to the kind of things that are taking away from their health, proper exercising, teaching people how to do some stretching or some breathing exercises, you know, everything to reduce stress in their life, because stress is a big phenomena in people's life that hurts us. Not that you could totally get rid of stress, but certainly you can learn how to cope with it and deal with it effectively. So my model of chiropractic is based on mind, body, and spirit. So one of the things I love is definitely massage therapy. I think that chiropractic and massage are a marriage made in heaven, because muscles move bones. And when muscles are tight, it pulls the bone out of alignment, and then the nerve gets impinged. You know, these small holes that come out of the vertebrae called foramen, and that's where the nerve comes out. And when a muscle pulls that bone out of its position, there becomes an occlusion or some inflammation that might occur on that nerve root. Could even be scar tissue sometimes. So it's important to deal with the muscle aspect as well as the structural aspect, because really the goal here is to correct the structure as best as possible to remove nerve interference.
So when you do remove the subluxation, which is the nerve interference,
that's correct.
Does that send a message to the muscle to relax? But why does the muscle then get tight again? What happens? Just life, I guess, doing everything from bending over to pick up the paper wrong or not exercising, or what are some of the things that bring us back to this disease?
Well, it's true that people do create patterns. You know, a lot of times if you don't change your life, well, you create exactly the same situation. I have found, you know, it is true what you're saying, that, you know, the nerve should tell the muscle what to do, and if you get the nerve interference gone, the muscle will relax. But because of the patterns that get set up in people's lives, I find that it's a much quicker route to get the result of balancing out that and breaking that negative feedback pattern by addressing the muscle as well. So it kind of speeds up the process. Probably eventually chiropractic by itself would accomplish the same goal, but from my experience, it's taken a lot longer. So I like to, you know, for a typical treatment in my office would be someone would come in and lie in heat packs for like 10 minutes and get them nice and relaxed and get the circulation flowing. And then my massage therapist would come in and massage them and do some therapeutic stretching exercises. And then at that point, I would also come in and do what I need to do for that patient.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Because, you know, with our common ancestry, mm-hmm. we're also licensed to do manipulation. Not at the...
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Naturopaths are licensed to do manipulation. And so, you know, we do similar things. So we blend manipulation from various places in the world, looking and do other techniques, the Bowen technique and other techniques like that to reestablish.
That's wonderful. And, you know, also another element is toxicity.
Yeah.
People, you know, we live in a very toxic world, mm-hmm. and those toxins tend to lodge in the muscles and the joints, and that's creating inflammation. And that's another reason why people need to have that muscular issue addressed as well.
So there's a lymphatic stagnation. It seems
yes.
to me that everything that you're saying is about movement versus stagnation in a way, whether it's movement of the nervous energy, movement of the proper of the fascia and fibers of the muscle, the blood,
exactly.
the lymph. It's all about movement and reducing
flow.
Stagnation.
Yep. Flow, I like to, I say to people, health is fairly simple. It's about flow, and it's about balance.
Well, when we return, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, I want to ask you some really interesting questions about, more about the healing Tao and the yogic system. And then also, how do you get patients to change and motivate them? And what are some, because you've been practicing a long time and have seen many, many patients. Some patients may be resistant to change, like you admitted yourself very graciously that you were very resistant to change and do things and were a wise guy and whatnot. So
mm-hmm.
I want to talk more about how do we motivate people to change, particularly as we get closer to New Year's. People have resolutions and sometimes they fall by the wayside because people don't have the ability to change. They have great intentions, but then they fall by the wayside. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we return with Dr. Michael Posner, who's the author of Well Adjusted, A Journey of Transformation for Body, Mind, Spirit, we'll return and address those issues. So stay tuned right here to Progressive Radio. Z. This is Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zamfro, naturopathic physician, and your host for this program. And again, we're having a great discussion with Dr. Michael Posner, who, along with his wife, Louise Posner, who's a nurse and massage therapist, wrote a book called Well Adjusted, A Journey of Transformation for Body, Mind, and Spirit. And a lot of great information in this book, that's for sure. And I think it looks at a more holistic success story and how to use and integrate many aspects of holism into staying well, including lots of great exercises and stretches. I think this is probably one of the best books I've ever read, looking at stretching and great mind-body work, too, you know, like a combination of both the mental and the physical. And you talk about that you know, when you look at the structural part of chiropractic, it's about moving bones, but the more energetic is doctors of the nerves. I like that, Dr. Posner.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit more about chiropractic and some of the things that it's been shown to help.
Okay, well, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention that I think is very important is stories that people tell themselves. You know, people tend to have very limiting belief systems. You know, reality is your reality. It doesn't mean it's mine. We all tell ourselves what's real, and we believe it. But where do we get that information from? Mostly hearsay. We hear it from our relatives. We hear it from our teachers. We hear it from TV.
The news,
right? The media. You know, hopefully they hear it from your radio show. Then they're hearing the truth. But, you know, but on TV, you know, people are told to take all these medications, go ask your doctor about this or that medication. And, you know, they're programming the people to believe that their health comes in the form of a pill. And so people run out and they ask the doctor to go on these meds. They never listen to the side effects, which amazes me, because very often the side effects are much worse than the actual condition that you have. So it's very important to start to understand the limiting stories that you tell yourself. For example, in chiropractic, you know, people will come into me and say, "Hey, doc, I was just shampooing my hair and my neck popped, and that was the problem." And then you take an x-ray and you see they have all kinds of degenerative changes in their bones, herniated discs, and they've just thought that the shampooing created their problem. Or I bent down to pick up a tissue and I couldn't straighten out anymore. And this is kind of common stuff you hear, but people don't realize that it's not the final straw. You know, I guess that's where the saying straw that broke the camel's back came from.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a process. Healing's a process, and being unhealthy kind of is a process.
Well, that's why it's great to, you know, I've had several patients say, why should I go back? Why should I see you when I'm healthy? I don't understand. I'm used to, I go to the doctors when I feel sick, and then, you know, I don't do anything during the weeks, months, years sometimes between office visits, and then when I break down again, I go to the doctor because that's what, but that's back to that paradigm you were talking about before.
Right, the emergency care model.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, and so that's why it's important to go, so people say, like, why should I keep getting adjusted? I mean, is it like a broken record? When I thought you're supposed to be, you know, doing something here. So it's a mindset. I think part of our work is re-educating people as to what, you know, how would you, what to expect during an adjustment, and what happens, and why is it, why are you doing this, and why do you have to go see the doctor when you're healthy versus well?
You're right, and that's so important, because, you know, that brings up the concept of preventative health care.
Yeah.
I mean, do people wait till, some people do, but wait till the teeth rot out of their mouth before they go to the dentist? You know, it's funny. It's like I say to people, you know, if you went to your dentist, let's say you had a toothache one day, and you call your dentist and you make an appointment. They say, we can't see you till tomorrow. So you go in the next day, you wake up, and you go, you know what? It doesn't hurt today. So you go into the dentist, and the dentist says you have several cavities. Would you walk out and say, you know what? I don't care. I'll wait till I need a root canal. It doesn't hurt me today.
Mm.
That's ridiculous. You need to take care of it. You know, you know that cavity is not going to heal itself.
Right.
And it's the same thing with our spines. If your body gave you a symptom and gave you a message, listen to the message. But most people say, it'll go away. And we say that's the most dangerous words that you can use. Maybe it'll go away. And if the symptom goes away, that doesn't mean the problem went away. And I encounter this on a regular basis. You know, people don't connect the dots. They say, well, I've had this problem, but it was years ago. And then it goes away, and then it comes back, and then it goes away and comes back. Well, there's a pattern being shown to you that the symptom sometimes goes away, but the problem not. And just like that cavity, it will degenerate you.
Mm.
It does not fix itself. So then the concept of preventative health care is realizing that, you know, most people say, I feel great now, so why do I need to come? Because you feel great from coming. That's the reason you should come. And you know, you're not getting sick anymore.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the truth. Since I've been under chiropractic care, I can count on one hand over the last 40 years how many times I've actually considered myself sick.
Yeah.
And mostly sick means I'm detoxing. You know, everybody ingests some toxins here and there, and that usually runs you down.
Yeah.
So it's very important to maintain wellness, because it's much easier to get well, to stay well, than it is to get well.
Yeah. People sabotage themselves, which gets back to what I was thinking about for part of this half of the program, is to kind of, why do people sabotage themselves into thinking, and I know that we could spend hours talking about this.
Yeah, well, I think
seminar,
it goes back to...
What's in it for people to be sick? What do you think?
Well, you know, I think it goes back to what I started to say before about our reality and the stories that we tell ourselves. A lot of times people say it's genetic, you know, which disempowers them, makes them a victim. And now I can't be different because my mother had it, my father had it. You know, my parents had diabetes. I am not a diabetic. Of course, everyone has a predisposition to any disease, providing you live out the lifestyle that creates it. So, you know, the important thing is to tell yourself the story that you're the creator of your health, not a victim, and that you can change. So, you know, like, again, another story might be, you know, I saw it on TV, it must be true. People tend to believe whatever they see on TV is true.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for example, we sometimes say, people, are you healthy or just not sick? And people ask me, well, what does that mean? In your book, you say that you could be vomiting or have diarrhea or have fever, but that doesn't mean you're sick. And I say, yeah, because your body's trying to eliminate poisons or kill bacteria. And to stop that process, if you're vomiting and that wants to come out, there's a reason that wants to come out, because your body is saying, it's unhealthy. It's going to make me sick. So get it out. But then most people run out and take something to stop the vomiting or to stop the diarrhea.
Right.
Now, of course, there are times when, you know, if you're doing that for days on end, that could be dangerous. So you might want to stop it at that point. But that's when I do believe in medical intervention, when it's a crisis, life-threatening situation.
Right.
So it's all what you tell yourself. You know, I had a funny story one time. I went to my high school reunion, and I ran into an old girlfriend, and she said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I practice chiropractic. And she said, oh, I have a great story to tell you. My husband was scheduled for surgery in 2 weeks, and he decided to try chiropractic, and he never went for the surgery, and it's been 2 to 3 years now. So I said to her, did you go back and tell the orthopedic surgeon? She goes, oh, no, what if we need him? Like, I'm like, what's up with that? Like, people are afraid to tell their doctors how chiropractic has helped their lives. It's like they need the approval. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of medical doctors are just as bad as the patients when it comes to chiropractic education. They don't understand it. And they put fears into people frequently about getting neck adjustments. And it's just...
That's right, stroking, you know, out and things like
ignorance.
That.
Ignorance.
You know. I mean, the very very people who were taught the special orthopedic tests to see if you should be getting a neck adjustment like that, or chiropractors themselves. So
that's true.
Kind of funny. I mean, that's sort of the scare tactics that are used in medicine. But nonetheless, well, let's switch gears, and I want to talk more about your a lot of the yoga, your yoga information in the book here. The second part of the book talks a lot about the inner smile and about correct posture and stretching and rehab exercise. Let's talk a little bit about that, because people say they're too busy to exercise, and you're saying that there's easy ways to do it. You could do it in your house. You don't need a track in your backyard. You don't need the proper sneaker. Well, maybe you do need the proper sneakers, but you know what I'm saying? People make a lot of excuses for why they can't. It's too cold out now. It's the winter time. Oh, you know. So there's all kinds of stories we hear about why people can't do things.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, the Taoist yoga path is basically one of living in harmony with the Tao, or the way of nature. And that is a process that you do all the time. It's not like I take an hour a day to practice Tai Chi or meditation. I used to do that, but now it's ingrained in me. So just for example, just starting with your posture, if people did two things differently in their day, it would transform them. And one is learning proper posture. And I don't mean jutting your chest out and sucking your gut in, because that is actually unhealthy. That was a military phenomena that people adapted for some reason. But basically, if you look at children, they have little bellies because they're relaxed. Their chest is in slightly, and their bellies are out, just the opposite of what we're taught. So people are being taught the wrong posture. And I know when I sit on a chair, I never sit back. I always sit on the edge of the chair and keep my body straight, because by doing that, you're transforming the forces of gravity right through your bone structure into the earth. You know, on another level, we're all connected to the universe. You know, everything is one. And so the heaven, you know, in the Taoist system, they say the heavens and the earth, you know, is what you want to be the medium. So you have the stars, the planets, the galaxies, the moon, and that radiates electromagnetic forces to our planet. And the earth has its own magnetic force, and we're kind of the intermediary. So through proper posture that I've learned from Tai Chi and Qigong, you become the channel. You know, before we talked about flow and being open, well, through this posture, you become open. And then breathing. You know, I mean, we breathe 1,000 times, 23,000, I think, number is times a day.
Wow.
And you would think that people would be experts at breathing, you know? But the fact of the matter is, people breathe very high up into their chests, very shallow. And oxygen is our most primary energy source. So by taking more breath in each day, breathing deeply through your abdomen, you're actually increasing your life force energy on a very important primal level. So those are two things right off the bat that you
people
can do.
People could do better. Better breathing, better posture.
Right there. Just two simple things. And that's, you know, you're always in your body and you always have to breathe. So you can't tell me you don't have time. And now, you know, I do some corporate work for stress management. And what I teach people is right at their desk how to transform themselves through maybe a little foot massage, a little reflexology, you know, to stimulate the energy flow. A lot of something we call the healing Tao, which is facial rejuvenation through stimulating acupuncture points on the face. And you know, massaging down various energy pathways, or just, you know, stretching, just doing gentle stretching right at your desk. You don't even have to get off your chair. There's so much you can do in daily life if you just take a little time to learn the methods.
What's the inner smile that you talk about in the book?
That's wonderful. Well, many years ago when I first met Grandmaster Montak Chia in Chinatown, he was lecturing and he says, you have to learn to love yourself. And, you know, I was a young man and I was like, okay, you know, I've been hearing this cliche for so many years, but I couldn't connect with it. Mm. How do you love yourself? So I raised my hand and I said, Master Chia, how do you love yourself? And he said, smile to your organs. Love your organs. I thought, that's interesting. I can do that, you know. So what do you mean by that? You know, people, you know, literally, you know, the eyes have energy. When you smile to somebody externally, you usually elicit a positive response. And it's universal. You don't have to know the language. People smile the same all over the world.
Right.
So the eyes contain smiling energy. If you perceive a negative thing, you're walking down the street and someone gets hit by a car, the first thing people usually do is hold their chest. Oh, my God, or their stomach, because the energy that they took in actually hurt their organs.
Absolutely.
And the same thing goes for smiling. So we smile inward. We take the energy of the smile and the loving energy of the smile, and we bring it into our organs individually and send healing love to those organs. And then, you know, you might want to give your organs a gift. Well, here's a nice, healthy, organic or vegetable. And say, you know, and you feel gratitude for those organs, what they do for you, how they work for you, 24 hours a day failing. I mean, it takes, you know, a little effort to appreciate your body. But what most people do is they beat up their bodies. They demand that it works harder, and they ingest more toxins. And so that's the antithesis of what I'm talking about.
Or they curse at the body for not working. Why do my knees hurt? Damn it. You know, you stupid knees. And they kind of send negative energy and vibration and thoughts to their body. Many people beat themselves up. I mean, that's why we get autoimmune, I think. I mean,
oh, you're right.
Dr. Kamai and myself, we wrote about that extensively in the book, and it's been well studied even in journals that the more we beat each other up or with our thoughts.
Yeah, and that's true, and that's where positive thinking comes into play, because you got to start. See, meditation brings you within so that you become aware of the voices in your head and what they're saying. And a lot of times people have very negative voices that are always telling them that they're no good and they're losers and they're incompetent and they're stupid. That's what I did. You know, that's, you know, one of the major things that I began to transform from my own journey.
Right.
And it's very important because thoughts become things and thoughts become emotions. So you got to be very careful what you're saying to yourself inside. And actually, you know, when you get deeper into the meditation, you realize it's not even you saying it. It's just a program that you developed from the environment that you grew up in. So that's why meditation is an essential aspect of holistic wellness.
It's very important. But again, folks say, oh, I don't have time to meditate. So you in your book give some really good examples of how, with a busy schedule, you can do a couple of quick exercises to help people or to, you know, find time and so that they can do the proper meditation that they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very important to make time to do these types of things. And I guess the one that towards the back of your book, you talk about exercises and stretching that you can kind of work into your life there. And I think this is huge. People have tight muscles and tight bones. I mean, even I'm looking at this in page 248, you're talking about doing hula hoops with your hips. That doesn't require any fancy equipment or anything like that, or tapes or, you know, programs or whatever. It's just kind of big circles to stretch your groin, hips, and hamstrings.
Yes, well, you know, I've done a lot of yoga, and the way I was traditionally trained was kind of linear, you know, bent to one side, bent to the other side, bent forward, bent back. But when I incorporated the Taoist approach, which is all based on circles and Tai Chi, Qigong, I realized that there are a lot more angles that aren't being reached in the range of motion when you just do linear stretching. So I incorporated Indian yoga with Taoist yoga, and I started to add the circularity, and I found that I felt good enough in 10 minutes, whereas before I needed to do an hour of stretching, because that circle encompassed all the angles. So there is another way to just, you know, quickly benefit. And believe me, you can do 5 to 10 minutes a day and stay fairly flexible.
Absolutely.
And besides, you know, I never thought being, you know, a rubber band was the path. You know, I thought it was just about reducing stress and keeping fairly mobile, keeping that joint mobility. And I believe that that's how you stay young. You know, age and stress and tension and lack of mobility seem to be what happens when people are aging in an unhealthy way.
So, and then lastly, your last chapter in the book talks a little bit about, actually a lot about, diet and lifestyle, which, you know, we unfortunately only have a few more minutes left in the program, but I think you have good information here, like the clean 15, the dirty dozen foods. These are very important to know about, foods that are green and yellow, and then also using the five element theory, or the six different tastes. It depends on if you're looking at a more Ayurvedic or Chinese philosophy to kind of balance the tastes in your body, because that's huge. Because bitter, like you mentioned, helping the organs with internal smiling. Well, the tastes. Taste and sound, all the senses. I mean, the Taoists develop sacred sounds for each of the organs, you know, like
that's true.
Ooh and shri and for the heart. Mm-hmm. The sacred sounds are very important, but also, you know, it's all about vibrations. Food's vibration, thoughts of vibration, everything is kind of vibration. So if you're eating a food that's been overcooked and overgrown and kind of dumbed down food, you're in trouble, because that's your body at that molecular and energetic level needs those nutrients. You know,
that's correct. That is definitely correct. And, you know, it's very important to vary your diet and eat what we call the rainbow diet. You know, all the different fruits and vegetables have different colors, and each one has different antioxidants that are essential to reduce inflammation in your body. You know, many people believe that the source of all disease is inflammation, even cancer. Yep. And diabetes, they associate to inflammatory issues. So by eating all these different foods, it helps keep down the inflammation in your body, which in turn keeps you healthy.
Well, in the last minute or so, tell us a little bit about where people could get your book and get in contact with yourself and your wife and your... I think your daughter also does holistic medicine, too.
Yes, my daughter became an acupuncturist, and she adds that other energy element into our office.
Nice.
And it's amazing how many people she's helping, people who can't have children or getting pregnant, fertility issues. It's amazing how all of this brings life into people.
Yeah.
Literally. And we are located in Huntington on Wall Street, 22 Wall Street. And anybody who's interested in my book can give us a call at 631-351-6111. And, you know, anybody who would love a free consult is welcome to come in and talk with me.
Sure.
And, you know, my final message to the readers, which I hope they got from the book, is that you are not a victim. You are a creator, and that you must take your own health into your own hands and never give up, as I didn't.
As I say, healthcare reform is self-care reform. You ever hear that?
Beautiful. That's exactly it. It says.
Thank you so much for being our guest for this hour. It went by fast, and there's so much more that we need to talk about. But Well Adjusted is the book, A Journey of Transformation for Body, Mind, and Spirit. Dr. Michael Posner, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Z.
Okay. And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, wishing everyone a great holiday season. Stay well. Bye-bye.